right, thank you for that, all the singing tonight. Thank you for being here and being in your place on our old-fashioned day. It does. Some of the things that you wear for old-fashioned day don't make a lot of sense, okay? Some of you are going really, really far back in time. Others of you, you put like a hat like Brother Chim and you're okay to go. So thank you for being here. We've had a great time. We've had a great fall program the last 7 weeks, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And say, man, I'm going to miss it. Don't worry, in 2 weeks we start our Christmas program, so that'll be okay. I just hope it's not 90 degrees on Christmas sweater Sunday like last time. We're in our series here about victory through separation. Tonight I want to hit it from a little bit of a different angle to help us out tonight. You ever hear people talk a lot about they want people to be genuine, or the word they'll use is authentic, right? We've heard that word. And I'm all for that, by the way. What we mean when we say that is we want to be honest and upfront about who we are in our lives and in the way we present ourselves. Really, it's about the fact that our life would back up what we say is important to us and what we say that we would believe. Many times you'll hear stories of, and I mentioned it this morning, of somebody, and it seems like they had everything together and they were spot on. And then something happens, and we're shocked that that happens. You know, I've mentioned the story. You'll see in the news someone kills 4 people, or they kill their whole family, and they'll ask their neighbors, and they'll say, "We were shocked. He was such a nice guy." But there was something bubbling down underneath that nobody knew about. I read a story several years ago about a guy. He was a deputy sheriff in Florida for many, 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 many years. And then they come to find out why he was a deputy sheriff. He had murdered 30 women, and he was arrested. His life didn't obviously back up who he was. In our text here that we read, and we read quite a bit, Ezekiel was a priest who had become a prophet. He was in exile in Babylon. And it was needed because even in Babylon, there were false prophets coming along just saying all kinds of lies and how they're going to get out of there when God had made it very clear, you're going to be taken captive. You're going to be there for 70 years before you are set free. By the way, there's always false prophets in every generation that want to say what people want to hear. They don't want someone that would tell them the truth and tell them what God would want them to say. By the way, if that's good for other segments of our society, why isn't it good for Christianity? I don't want to go to a doctor that would lie to me, that I feel horrible, and the doctor says, no, you're good, simply because he doesn't want to offend me. If I have something major wrong in my life, I want the doctor to look me in the eye and say, you've got some serious problems here we need to deal with. But yet, if we do that in a spiritual sense, people don't like that. In the verses, God gives Ezekiel visions of what is really going on with his people. God is peeling things back and letting Ezekiel see them for who they really are. In chapter 8, Ezekiel is sitting by his house with some of the exiled elders when God takes him, literally it says it took him by his hair in a vision. I guess I would not have been able to be a prophet, okay? And probably some of you wouldn't have been able to be a prophet too. Maybe he would have had to grab me by my ears. I'm not sure. And he gives them this vision. In this vision, he sees several things. He sees people hiding in the chamber, the ones that were around Ezekiel, and they were hiding some things about who they really were. Outwardly, they seemed fine, but inwardly, they were evil and wretched, and as far from God as they can be. That can be true of us tonight, could it not? How we may present ourselves one way, but when the truth push comes to shove, are we really as close to God as we portray that we are? And that could be in varying degrees. It could be in small areas. These guys had major, major issues, and we're going to look at them in a minute. When it comes to who you really are tonight, there's only one person who really knows that, and that's you. You can fool others. And there are signs and evidences and fruit, as the Bible says, that we can tell that someone's genuine. But when things start to go sideways and people are headed down a wrong path and a destructive path in their life, the person that really only knows that until the outward signs come is the person who's going down the wrong path. Because we're pretty good at hiding things, aren't we? So that what I want to look at tonight is I want us to examine ourselves. Are there things in my life and in my heart in that secret place that others don't see? That place that's inside of you that only you know about? Your inner being? Who you are when you are alone? See, God showed some things to Ezekiel in the visions, and we'll go through some of these things. And some of these men who are supposed to be the spiritual leaders that were portraying themselves as being really on board with what was going on, when God took Ezekiel and showed him what was really going on, it was horrendous because they were hiding it. Now we would say, what does this have to do with separation? Well, because if we're going to have victory and be separate, and you understand, I've been explaining that for several weeks now, it has to start with who we are on the inside. And sometimes we're hiding some things. And sometimes the issue isn't the outward things. The issue is what's going on in our heart. Many people are good at being separated outwardly, but they're not good at being separated inwardly. They'll do the things that everybody sees. They're in our school, they'll follow those rules. If they're in the choir or they're in some other place of ministry, they'll do those things. They'll keep it all on the outward in a good place. But in some cases, inwardly, things are starting to get out of control. You see, whenever somebody has a problem, the problem doesn't happen when the problem happens. The problem happened inside a very, 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 very long time ago. So tonight, in a brief time, I will not keep us long, I want to look at four places or areas that will reveal what is going on in our heart and where we need to be very, very, very careful. I want to ask some questions tonight. Are we hiding some things? Most people won't do blatantly, if they have a veneer of Christianity, if they're coming to church, typically it doesn't start with that outward stuff. It starts chipping away at the inside. So let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, are you hiding something in your worship? Flip back and forth from chapter 8 and chapter 14. If you look at chapter 14 and verse 1, he goes, "Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart." See, as Ezekiel was able to look through a wall and see some of the things they were doing, men that were supposed to be worshiping the Lord, when he peeled it back and let him see what was going on, here they were hiding and secretly worshiping somebody other than the Lord. Idols. The core of their problem was the false worship that was in their life. And by the way, that's always where it starts. These group of men, they were hid what they really worshiped even while they were at the right place of worship. That's mind-boggling to me. They were in the right place, and yet they were worshiping the wrong things. And by the way, that brought judgment in their lives. God doesn't do very well with that. The Bible's comparison with that is the same as a cheating spouse. It's spiritual adultery. And that's what they were committing here. On the outward, and yes, we're men of God, and here we are, and we're at the place where we should be, and we're telling everybody we're worshiping God, but when no one's looking, we're worshiping something else, something completely different. What a sad thing it would be to spend time at the very place of true worship and yet worship that which is false. Allow that in our life. What about us tonight? Many of us would say that we love the Lord. But what's really important in our life? And I don't believe anybody in here, you're bowing down to the moon god, you're bowing down to even a Buddha. That's, by the way, that's an idol. I wouldn't allow that in my house. That when we were early days in the Cambodian church and the folks would get saved, they'd have these satanic-looking pictures on their wall, and I don't know if those are still the thing, and all these different things, and it's like, we'd tell them, you need to break that. I remember one time we took a group down to, I don't know if some of you may have been here, we took a group down to Tijuana on a trip. It was an activity. And somebody brought along a visitor. Now, the first thing we knew that he was not a church kind of guy is because we were in the church van and he just lit up right there. Started smoking right in the church van. And one of our guys said, we were going to say, someone needs to tell him to put that thing out. And if you guys know Trent, said, I'll take care of it. And he reached over to the guy. He goes, "Hey, can I have a hit?" The guy looked at him funny. He goes, "Okay, I guess you can have a hit." And he took it and he goes, threw it out the window. He said, "We don't smoke in the van." But we were down there in Mexico, and you know, you buy the blankets and all the different things there. And we're gonna go get in the van, and this guy had a Buddhist statue. And we're like, "That guy is not bringing that Buddhist statue in our car. That's an idol." So we asked the guy, "How much did you pay for it?" He goes, "I paid $10. We didn't want to offend him. Like, "I'll tell you what, we'll give you $20 for it." And he's like, "Sold." And then we broke it right in front of him. He goes, "What was that all about?" I'm like, "Take your $20. We're not going to let Buddha in the car." But that's not the type of idol we're talking about today. An idol for us, because most of us, we're believers. We don't want to dishonor God. We're not going to purposely worship something that we shouldn't. But what are we allowing in our life that becomes more important to us than the Lord? You see, anything you put before God is now your idol, right? Doesn't the Bible mention some things? What's one thing the Bible mentions very specifically that can take the place of God? Anybody know? Money. You cannot worship, have two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other, and then he applies it. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's money. By the way, how many people have made money a god in their life? They wouldn't say that. You say, "Well, Pastor Myers, money's not a god in my life." This isn't the message for tonight, but I'll ask, do you tithe? Okay, we'll move on very quickly there. But we take things in our life that maybe necessarily aren't wrong, but will make them so important. In essence, we're almost putting them in front of God. We have to be very, very careful about that. If you'll look at chapter 8, I'll read the verses for you in 10 and 11. There were worshiping all kinds of things. He says, "So I went in and saw in this secret place." God gave him this vision to see what they were doing. "And behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, the older ones, the ones that should have been wiser, that should have known better. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, his religious implement, and a thick cloud of incense went up. They had pictures on the wall. It seemed like all of them had their own god, animals, creeping things. And it was led by Jazaniah. He was the son of Shaphan." You know who Shaphan was? You remember in the book of Jeremiah, he found the book of the law and he took it. That was Shaphan that did that. And yet here is his son, now supposed to be a spiritual leader, worshiping false idols. We have many false idols in our age. Sports is one. There's nothing wrong with sports. You say, "Well, no one worships sports." If you stay home on a Sunday morning because your football team's playing, you worship sports. Can I get an amen there? And I hope your team loses. And if you're a Rams fan, please don't stay home. They're already losing enough games without your help. Okay? But we put them before us. Entertainment. Money. I mentioned some people will put their careers. They'll have no problem missing church services if they can go and work and make some money. And I'm all for making money. Don't get me wrong. But not before God. Some people put themselves. We have many gods of our society now. Nature. We don't worship animals, but they're more important than humans nowadays. And I'm not saying you should mistreat animals, and I don't really necessarily love animals per se. We have two dogs. One of them I don't like at all. Can't wait till I can get rid of that one. But we, who said Sadie? Okay, let's be cool there. I wasn't going to call any names out. Sunday school, Brother Bird talked about not all dogs go to heaven. I'm like, Sadie isn't. Not even close. And I'm not going to witness to her. And I don't think we should hurt animals. Don't get me wrong. But boy, if you hurt an animal, you'd probably be on the front page of the newspaper, the news. Oh, torture. But you can abort a baby. We're all screwed up, aren't we? But let's be honest. Let's bring it back to us. Is there anything deep down in your heart that displaces God? Is there anything in your heart, things that have become so important to you, if you were honest to yourself, it's starting to push you away from God? That's what an idol is. How do you fix that? It's very easy. Have devotions with the Lord. Make sure you're spending time with God every single day. Just as we just had our couples retreat. We had a fantastic time. We had so many couples there. We had a blast. It was great. But it's important for couples to get away together. It's important for couples to be together not just once a year at the couples retreat, although I would put that in my schedule if your work would allow for that. But you know that you need to be together and you need to communicate and go out together and all those different things, right? What happens if you don't do that in a relationship? The relationship starts to go south. The same thing is true of the Lord. How can we have the right relationship with Him if we are not regularly spending time with Him? Also by our meditations, and the Bible talks that we're supposed to pray without ceasing and meditate day and life. Day and night. What does that mean? It just means that every minute of every day, everything we do in life ought to be around what does Scripture want me to do? Doesn't mean that we have to lay on the floor for 24 hours a day thinking about Scripture and praying. But everything that comes in our life, when we figure out how we're going to handle it, it ought to be Scripture right to it. It ought to be, Lord, I need help. Well, you know, this isn't my prayer time. Go ahead, throw something out right there. So how is it with your worship? Number two, are we hiding anything in the way that we live? In verse 12 of chapter 8, it's a very interesting phrase. They say this about everything that they were doing. They said, for they say the Lord seeth us not. The problem started with the false belief that God didn't see them. And so they weren't recognizing the fact that God knows everything that they're doing all of the time. And so that gave them the freedom to start doing what they wanted to do, to start getting into these areas of disobedience. So when we don't have the recognition that God knows everything that's going on in my life and I'm accountable to Him, then we start to make decisions and then we start to do things based on what we want to do, based on what we feel is best, not based on what God would want us to do and what God thinks is best. It always gets down to that. Even though they believe that God didn't see them, it's interesting. Even though they didn't believe that God, they believe that God didn't see them, they hid it from other people. It's amazing how we're okay with hiding things from people, not realizing that God sees everything you're doing and He's the most important person of all. I mean, they were concerned what other people thought about what they were doing, but yet they were able to block out that God knew exactly everything that they were doing. We struggle with that. Let me ask you this. Do you have a secret way of living? People think it's okay because as long as they don't get caught. When we had the couples retreat, my wife, I told her I was going to use this. She, when we go away for a few days or whatever, there's certain things I let her go do. And she went to a salon to get a hair trim or something. And so, by the way, I didn't go. Okay, I didn't need that. And so she told me she met this lady there, and as they're doing the hair, you know how they ask questions or whatever. And it's like, so what are you doing here? Oh, we're in town for a couple's retreat our church is doing, blah, 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 blah. And I don't know how it came about. My wife told me, the lady told her, everybody cheats. And my wife's like, no, everybody doesn't cheat. She goes, no, everybody does. And then she gave examples. She goes, I have a friend. They've been married for 20 years. The last 10 years, my friend has been cheating on her husband. It's like, she doesn't want to leave him? No, she doesn't leave him. She still loves him. And then my wife's like, well, what about the guy she's been cheating with? Like, oh, he doesn't care either. He's married also. And then she gave the illustration about her dad. You know, my dad was cheating on my mom for our whole marriage and finally divorced her. And he got remarried with somebody else. And my wife's like, well, is he cheat on that lady? She goes, no, I asked him. He says he's too old now. It just takes too much energy to try to hide it. But here's something she told her. This doesn't even make sense. She said, it doesn't matter as long as you love your spouse. And she defined loving your spouse as not getting caught. Now think about that. That's almost laughable as it is sad because that is a reflection on our society. But you want me to be real to apply this? Isn't that how most Christians are? You know, I love God, but I don't listen to Him. I love God, but I have no trouble doing things that would dishonor Him because you believe like they do. You know, He doesn't see it. That's a very, very bad way to live. God sees everything. It is easy now to get ourselves in trouble. What about on social media? You know, you have your one friends, but do you have that burner account? Oh, struck a nerve there. You know, that someone's direct messaging you? It's easy to get yourself in trouble. Are you secretly trying to connect with somebody that you shouldn't? Oh, nobody else knows about it. I know someone who knows all about it. How about your communications? Who are you texting? And it's so easy. You know, we give again, I feel for our singles and our young folks because it's so easy to get caught up in this. You know, when we were courting and dating, we didn't have that stuff. So, you know, we had to get on the home phone that had a line on it that was like 12 miles long so you could sit in the living room. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, you know? Most people don't even have a landline anymore. And you know, we had to either call them or see them in person. Now you see somebody and you can text and you accelerate the relationship a lot faster than you probably should. But somebody, you're texting somebody for a legitimate reason, they throw something out that's a little bit shady. Did you stop that? Or did you take it as a compliment, ladies? By the way, if a guy who's not your husband says something that only a husband should say, you ought to shut him out right away. That's good right there. You ought to tell, and you know, maybe you don't want to tell him to shut up because, well, I don't like to say that, but you can text it. Say, excuse me, I'll let my husband deal with this. Don't let us do, there's so many things. What are you doing on the internet? You have your secret time online. Hiding that stuff. And you kids, sneaking, you know, by the way, I'm never going to change this. I'm never going to change this, so don't think I am. I don't think teenagers ought to have cell phones. Amen. There's nothing good that comes from that. And I know some of you let them do it, and I love you, and I'm not going to fight you on it, but nothing good comes from it. By the way, there are a lot smart, and I know technology, but they're a lot smarter than I am. Okay, I had a computer many, when they first came out. But some of you sneak around, and by the way, you don't even have to be a teenager. You can be an adult. But you let I'll just let them use an iPad at home. Better watch out. And then something happens, and we come and point it out to you. It's like, how did that happen? I can explain that. Come on. But you adults are doing it too. Are you on those sites you shouldn't be on? By the way, some of you men, are you looking at things you shouldn't be looking at? I'm telling you, I wouldn't have a cell phone if I struggled with that. Or I'd get a flip phone. Or I'd get two tin cans and a piece of string. Can you hear me? Be very careful. What about the music you listen to? You can't listen to godless music and be a godly Christian. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. I don't see it. You can't listen to someone singing about lust and immorality and hatred and all that nonsense and all the anti-God philosophies and not have that. Oh, I'm just listening to the music. No, you're not. You know the words. How do we teach children things? Let's put it in a song. Let's put it in a song. All of our kids, they knew their ABCs early because we played the song. Callie, she's not even, what, year and a half? She knows her ABCs already because she's listened to ABC song so long it's probably burned a hole in her mind. But she'll sing the ABC song. But it doesn't affect me. Yeah, it does. I didn't listen to the right kind of music, but we can go and eat somewhere and there's a song that pops up that I used to listen to all those years ago. And I know every word. Go ahead. What, do you want me to sing it? Okay, thanks. I know what you're saying. But let's be very careful. Let's try to be who we are outwardly, be the same who we are inwardly. How do you get victory if you're struggling in your life? Welcome accountability. Welcome accountability. You know, even in your devotions, I struggle with my devotions. Find yourself a devotions partner. I'll tell you what, each day, why don't we text each other what we got out of our Bible? Or you're struggling with other things, have somebody that says, hey, you can question me about what's going on in my life. You can look at my cell phone. You know the code. You can get whatever you want out of my cell phone. My wife knows my code. I know her code. Oh, wait, someone just texted me. No. Okay? She can look at it anytime she wants. And I'll be honest, I don't delete my texts. And my texts go all the way back to, like, I don't know, when I got this phone, when I first started using an iPhone years ago. It goes all the way back. Okay, so and by the way, if you're a spouse and your spouse wants to see your phone and you're like, I'm an adult, you can't let me see, you don't need to check up on me. Something's wrong. Something is wrong. I'm trying to help you. That's called accountability. And fear the Lord. Let me hurry. Thirdly, ask this question. What are you hiding, or are you hiding something in your obedience? Look at chapter 14 and verse 3. It says, Son of man, these men have put up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Verse 4, the end of the verse, and putteth a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. See, you cannot help if you are worshiping the wrong things and the priority of the Lord is in a wrong place in your life. You cannot help but become disobedient in your living. You can't. You're not going to be a Christian that says, what does God want me to do? Because you're so caught up in all this other stuff that's under the surface, that's bubbling up underneath. And it's going to cause you not to do the things that God wants you to do. Now, a lot of times what happens is we'll try to make excuses for it. By the way, that's why we may not like this series. Some of us may not like what we've been going through, although we've not really applied it. We've been giving principles of separation, things God tells us, be careful, don't do this, or be careful, do this. It's just a matter of obedience. So we make excuses. Well, you know, I just don't, no, the problem is there's something seeping underneath. There's something that you're not, that's going on underneath, and it's keeping you from obeying the Lord. Here's a verse that ought to scare us. Psalm chapter 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, did you get what that says? He didn't say if you're sinning. He says if you have a regard, a high view, or a positive view of something which is wrong in your heart, you're not necessarily doing it, but in your heart, you're okay with it. God says, I'm not hearing you. That's pretty tough. Because as we looked at last week, and we'll mention in a second, is what gets in here comes out here. And if something gets into our mind, it's going to get into our heart, and it's going to get into our being, and it's going to come out in our actions. There's just no way around it. Your sin will come out. How do you get victory over sin? We said it last, confess and forsake. Confession isn't just saying, all right, Lord, you caught me. Yep, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me of my sin? Amen. No, that's not what it is. Confession is, Lord, I did wrong, and I know that you know what I did is wrong, and I agree with you what I did was wrong. And Lord, help me not to do it again. And living in such a way that you don't do it again. That's really what it is. But we don't do that. Be careful. Be careful that you watch your companions. And lastly, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, we looked at it last week. Are you hiding anything in your mind? I'll quote the verses here. In chapter 8, verse 12, then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do? In the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery, down in his mind. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols, where? In his heart. It starts in our mind. And as we mentioned last week, and I won't re-preach the message, everything that gets into our mind will eventually come out in our actions. We cannot control that. And if you are thinking about something that is wrong, you know, with the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Here's a Christian, a teenager or whatever, becoming a single adult. They've been trying to live right their whole life. Now they're looking at those who aren't unsaved. You watch them on their Instagram accounts. You watch them on their social media. You see them in our entertainment, and you start to think, wow, they have it well. That's the way to live. And it starts getting into your mind. Let me just tell you something. It's going to come out in the way that you live. You cannot control how what you allow in your mind changes the way you live. You can only control what you allow in your mind. If you allow the wrong things in your mind, you're going to do the wrong things. By the way, you know what a great thing is on the flip side? If I want to do the right things, I got to change. All I got to do is change what I'm putting in my mind. Put positive thoughts. Put the scripture in my mind. That's why it's great to be in our Bibles. To think about the scripture, to be at church every time you have opportunity and you're hearing the truth of God, and that's what's in your mind. And when a situation comes, what's going to come to your mind is, hey, God would want me to do this. Not what have I been dwelling on. But if what's inside of us is wrong, then it's going to come out. Put the right things in your mind and keep the wrong things out of your mind. What's the point tonight? You know who you really are as a Christian. You know the direction. You know what your affection is for. You know it. No one else knows it. Now, sometimes, so I will say this, if that ruminates long enough, it's going to come out, and it's eventually going to be visible to everybody. But maybe right now, that part of it hasn't come out yet. But you know what's going on in you. If God were to grab Ezekiel by the hair and bring him to your secret chamber, what would he see? You know, your kids in our school, at school you're one way, but at home, you sneak on that iPad, you sneak on that device, you sneak on that computer, you're having conversations with people about ungodly things. By the way, it's not just teenagers. When no one's around, would it be the way you're texting to people, the pictures you're sending each other? Been doing this for a long time. I know how it works. But what's going on? Or maybe you just your relationship with God is starting to go south. Maybe you have a friend at work or a family member or somebody who's not a Christian and they don't know better. And they're starting to get that influence in your life. And they're starting to draw you away from God. And you know that particular person isn't good for you and they're drawing you away. And that's simmering underneath. No one sees it yet, but you know it's true. What's going down inside? Well, if it's not the right things, here's what you got to do. Change it. By the way, God already knows about it. When you get down on your knees and say, Lord, I need to tell you something. He's like, what? I don't know what's going on. He knows. He just wants to hear that you know it's wrong. Confess it to the Lord and get that thing right and say, Lord, I'm going to cleanse it. Some you just need to get rid of some things. Some influences in your life. Maybe are some things in your life that aren't wrong, but you've given them too high a status in your life, and they're coming between you and God. What do you need to work on tonight? By the way, God will let you know. God will let you know. Work on it, because what's in you is eventually going to come out. You can't hide it forever. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute if we can, please. Thank you for listening. Let's stand together. I'm sure in a crowd like this, there's some that maybe you're involved in some things that would be horrific. And maybe you're stuck in those things, and maybe you need some help. Maybe you need to talk to somebody and get some help. But maybe some of us, there's just some small areas or some things are starting to creep in. Things that we would not maybe allow in our actions, but we're starting to allow them in our heart. We need to work on those things. We need to cleanse them, cleanse our heart, and get the right things in there. God will let you know, and I'm sure you know what's going on. If we're going to be legitimately who we are on the outside, be right on the outside, long term, we need to be right on the inside. Maybe we just need to put our guards up and be careful. I don't know what it is tonight, but if God spoke to you, the piano's going to play. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Victory comes on the inside. So does defeat. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word, which is just so transparent, so helpful to let us know what we need to watch for. And Lord, it's so easy to let things creep into our heart. It's so easy to allow things underneath, the things that no one else knows about. And Lord, I pray if we're struggling with any area that part of our life. I pray you'd help us to work. Lord, may we cleanse it. May we fight it. May we let it not take up residence. Be with us now. Thank you for these folks that are here. I pray you'd bless us until we meet together again on Tuesday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.